research at this point mainly means intensive shana, and then talking with as many writers and publishers as possible for work that I'm doing on a book at the moment.
Now, what can you say generally about the people of Zimbabwe?
I mean, I think I can tell you why I ended up being so attracted to Zimbabwe as a research site, and why I became so consumed by Zimbabwean literature and by Shona literature in particular. And people oftentimes in the States are very confused when I tell them this, because they've got a particular vision of Zimbabwe, often as being a bit closed off. They think very clear, but in fact very incomplete sense of what the government there is like. And frankly, I think that Zimbabweans tend to be wonderful arguers. So the most popular example of that, that people can relate to, you know, I think who aren't academics or literary scholars, is all of these open discussion hashtags on Facebook and Twitter. Something even like Jonathan Moyo's Twitter feed, regardless of how you feel about Jonathan Moyo or any of his past machinations, I think just shows an incredible willingness and inclination on the part of Zimbabweans to kind of let fair and free argument flow in spaces where you wouldn't necessarily expect it. Zimbabwe actually has an extremely healthy and measured intellectual culture, a culture of argument, in a way that, frankly, I haven't found comparatively to be the case in even South Africa.
Tell us exactly what type of project you are doing in Zimbabwe.
I'm working on a second book project right now, which is called Terms of Engagement, Form and Response in the Age of Post-Democracy. And it basically looks at all of these conversations about Zimbabwe as a failed state, obviously a very controversial term, not one that I'm invested in any way, but thrown about a lot to mean quite a lot of different things. And at the same time, a lot of critical theorists, so people who consider themselves to be political theorists, political philosophers, philosophers of modernity, these big kind of humanities fields, are talking about this kind of grander age of post-democracy, which isn't to say an age in which democracies don't function or exist, but a time in which we're beginning to question what democracy as a system is actually meant to be doing. How is it supposed to function in the long term if people are still dealing with all sorts of problems that it was meant to solve? And so what I'm doing is organizing a number of narrative genres to arise both within and surrounding Zimbabwe over the past 25 years or so, into groups of texts that deal with this question, and particularly that deal with the question of how do we argue now? What are the conceptual bottom lines that drive the types of arguments we have? And how does a place like Zimbabwe, which has a very persistent intellectual culture, even in the midst of severe political and economic difficulties, sort of model a way of thinking about how to make intellectual culture move forward in the world at large?
So now, looking at issues to do with democracy in Zimbabwe, what do you think is the depth of democracy in that country?
It's by most metrics not particularly democratic. I try to be open to a lot of sources that think otherwise. I mean, I try to read a whole roll of Zimbabwean blogs and newspapers every morning. So I read everything from Alex Magaise's blog, which I like very much. I follow all Jonathan Moyo's stuff, which is, for me, pretty hit or miss, but the conversations that it spawns among a lot of people who disagree with him are fascinating. I talk to Zimbabwean friends with incredibly far-flung opinions. So I think one of the issues that I've encountered as a very self-consciously American scholar is that I don't want my work to be explicitly political.